also my wife, she has a real severe cough. My daughter's gotten finally better, and my wife's just got a terrible, terrible cough. So if you can pray for her to get better. Guess when you got eight of us, somebody's always sick, seems like. We actually stay extremely healthy for a big family. But if you can just pray for my wife, baby's getting a lot better. Appreciate your prayers in that. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. While you're turning there, I'm going to read our verse for strongholds we've been in. We pretty much read every week because it's the foundation of our verse, of our subject. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." A pretty serious message last week on strongholds in the morning. And today we're going to talk about the 800-pound gorilla. I think it's a very important subject. It's an uncomfortable subject to talk about in church. I want to talk about it on Sunday morning when all the kids weren't in here. And so Matthew chapter 6 now. Talk about evil eyes today, the stronghold of evil eyes. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. "Laying not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We're going to talk about evil eyes today. Father, I just thank you for your word. And Lord, it just says things very clearly, Lord. And you are not the author of confusion, but you teach us truth, Father. And Lord, as I pray and study your word and look for what you want me to preach, Lord, you very clearly speak to me. You want me to preach on different subjects. And this is the subject for today, Father. And we believe this is your will. We believe it's what your spirit wants. We believe that it's very powerful because it's your word. Yet, Lord, we know that by ourselves, without your spirit, we can do nothing, Lord. So we ask now in the name of Jesus that you would help us. And we ask that you would give us your power. And we ask that you'd give me every word to say. Help us to be sincere, humble. Help us to deal with the issues that we have to deal with. And help us to get our eyes right and our hearts right and our minds right and our bodies right, Father. And we just pray in all these things, Lord, we put into your name. And ask that Jesus would, in the name of Jesus, that it would be done according to his will. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, we got the some verses here, and there's lots of things here. It says, because you cannot serve God and money. By the way, a lot of people disagree with that statement. They wouldn't say that. No Christian would ever say, "I don't believe that." But they just think it's not true. You know what? I do not serve money. And no Christian would say they do. But they don't understand serving money is when money gets a priority. That's what this chapter teaches us. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," as we're just saying, "and all these things will be added unto you." You serve money if it's a priority over God. So if you say, "I got to work on Sunday," you would put your earning money above going to church. And that'd be seeking the kingdom of this earth above the kingdom of God. And so forth. You got to seek God's kingdom first and put it above money. You cannot serve God and money. It's impossible. You say, "I can do both. I can live for money and I can live for God." Jesus says you can't. And it's you I got to believe, or Jesus. I think I'll take Jesus. And because I think he's always right. And he says you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, and here's the thing that people don't connect these verses. It says, therefore, because you cannot serve God and money, therefore take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall put on, all those things. Why? Because if you worry about those things, you will be stressed out about money. and you'll put money first. When somebody gets really worried, they don't think they're going to eat, which is very rare in America. They need that. When they don't think they're going to eat, and when they think they're going to lose their house or lose their car, they get very desperate, and they think about money all day long and get very stressed out. There is a way to live, and it's not the message this morning, but there is a way to live where you don't worry at all about money. And even if you don't have it, you don't worry about it. Can I tell you the key to that? Real simple. There's a couple keys. Number one key is worrying about it doesn't give you money. If it did, some of you'd be rich. And it doesn't give any money. So if you worry about it, if you got 5 days to pay your rent and your paycheck comes in 2 weeks and you worry a whole bunch about it, your wallet does not fill up. It's still empty, except for receipts, like I have. So that's what happens. So you don't worry about it. You don't worry about what you're going to eat. It's God's job to feed you. It's not God's job to give you a new big screen TV. It's not God's job to give you a 2011 Lexus. It's not God's job. That's your job to give me. That's not God's job to. It's not God's job to do any of that stuff. God's job is to give you food and shelter. And by the way, it's not God's job to do that if you don't put Him first. If you seek His kingdom first, He'll do that. If you put God's kingdom, so I believe I put God's kingdom first in my life. I think we've always done that. since I've been saved, I never worry about having food or raiment. And by the way, there's times when we've had no money for food. I mean, no money. The least we've ever lived on, my wife and I, is when we had no kids at the time, but the least we ever lived on, we had $15 in 1 month. We lived on that one time. It's the least we lived on. Don't ask me how we did that. We did. I didn't starve. You probably figured that out. We lived on that. And by the way, we didn't have anything in our cupboards. We were poor before that. We had empty, I mean, when I say empty cupboards, I mean there wasn't a can in the cupboard. Nothing. We had the sink and water. That'll keep you alive for a while. And we had one box of cornmeal. And I found out you can have cornmeal pancakes, cornmeal hamburgers, cornmeal meatballs. They're not meatballs, are they? Cornmeal balls? I don't know. And please don't ever give me cornmeal again, because I'm tired of cornmeal. We just squeezed by. Bought some rice, I think, and a couple things. That we just had no money. We're broke. But you know what? God got us through it. And you know what? God will always take care of you. You don't have to worry about it. And that's not the message. Because the context wrapped around the thing about money before and after, where your treasure is, every heart be also is before, and after that is take no thought for your food and all those things. In between that is the eyes. Verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, which means clear, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Lots in this verse here. The eye will either light up or darken your entire body. Do you notice the wording there? God did not say your mind. God did not say your house. This room would be pretty bright. It'd be bright enough to have church if we had none of these lights here, because we have these windows. Now, tonight it wouldn't be, but in the morning it'd be light enough. We could have church here. I've been in church services in darker rooms than this would be. You remember in the Philippines, there's some pretty dark rooms we're in church in there. You can have that because the light comes in the window. The Bible says your windows into your house, and I guess now we have power, it's a little bit different. I can't, you know, one of the hardest things, I read a lot of history and look at read a lot of things about old times. One of the hardest things that to me would to live old fashioned would be lighting. Because I read at night. And you know, kerosene's expensive. And it makes your eyes burn. And it's dangerous. And you know, and some houses didn't have glass. And it was just hard to get light. And nowadays we have power, we turn on. But imagine in New Testament time says that your eyes are like your window. And if the eyes are dark, your whole body is dark. And if your eyes are light and clear, then your whole body is full of light. Your eyes will either light up or darken your entire body. And it uses the word body there, not your soul or anything else. It says your body. It lights up your body and not your soul. And your soul is also involved. The context of this is wealth. And if you look at money and look at things all the time, it'll be one of our points later, you begin to get darkness in you because you love money and you begin to look at things all the time because what you look at affects you very deeply. And the problem is you have a stronghold of the eyes. Many people do. Many men, many women both have many problems with their eyes, and their whole life, their whole body is full of darkness because their eyes are dark. And I can say this very confidently. Nobody in the history of the world has had as many things that darken their eyes as we do. I mean, I don't have a bad movie in my house. I don't have a bad magazine in my house. I don't have a bad book in my house that I know of. And yet, I drive down the road. And that's all it takes nowadays. And you know what? I walk into a mall when I have to. I'm absolutely desperate. I get drug in there. And I go in the mall. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of bad things to look at in the mall. And a whole bunch of things to covet. And I drive by and there is, there are so many things that we want. Can you imagine how simple life was when Jesus was preaching this 2,000 years ago? All right, don't covet after a whole bunch of things. Well, okay, there's a mule, a horse, a head turban, and a very heavily clad woman in a dirt road. And you know what? They would still covet. You know what? You know how much nowadays there is? I mean, you drive down the road, and there's cars that you'd love to have. And there is houses that would be great to own. And there are clothing. And man, you know what people spend on clothes nowadays? Oh, my soul. I bought a $100 suit. That's the best. That's where I always get my suits. $100. And I was buying a suit, and I went to get it tailored. I was in the mall, and I went into the tailoring place. And there was a teenage girl in there with me. I'll never forget. I bought my whole suit for $100. And I'm getting it tailored. And this girl's just dressed. And she's getting her pants measured. And they look like pants. You know, I don't know the difference, but they look like pants to me. And just, you got to do this just right. I just paid $200 for these pants. You've got to get them just right. And I'm going, $200 for a pair of pants? Good night. Man. And then, I don't know why, but pants always seem to shrink, don't they? And you go and you get these pants, and $200. I bought a car for $125 one time. How many people bought a car for under $200 ever? Several of you. How many still drive? Never mind. I had to pick you up this morning, didn't I? Under 25. I bought one for $125. No exhaust. It was a 73 Cougar. No exhaust. It was great. For about a month and a half. There's so many things to look at. There's cell phones now that do everything. You shave with it. Air conditioning blows in your face. It'll drive your car. Play video game. Cell phones. Everything out there. And then a man wants to keep his mind pure, but there's supermodels undress everywhere. Every billboard, every poster, every commercial. And women don't understand how that affects a man, but it affects a man. And a woman wants to be content with the things she has, except for the person next door comes over and brags and says, look what I got. They show you the nice new thing. Everybody wants something better. And it's so hard. It is so hard not to covet in our society. And it's so hard not to get our eyes full of evil things. Because we see evil things. We see bad, sinful things all the time that somebody would never see in their lifetime throughout most of history. And it is in our face whether they want to see it or not. We see more on a commercial, understand that, than people would see in a lifetime outside of marriage. It's everywhere. I love football. I have to turn off every commercial. It's a beer commercial. And women are dressed in modest. It's just, it's everywhere. And we need to control our eyes. Let me just give you some specific areas where we need to control our eyes. The first one is right here in this passage, and it's obvious. With wealth, money, and greed. Verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then comes our verse about the eyes. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I read this in Sunday school, but let me just read it real quickly. It talks about the power of money and greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into the temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, having coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We watch movies, we watch TV shows, and it shows the richest people in their houses. You know what? If you look at those crazy houses that they have on TV, your little house you wanted so bad for so long isn't going to be so great anymore. You know what kind of things they have in houses nowadays? It is ridiculous. I laugh at cars. Heated seats, heated mirrors, massage on your back while you're driving. It is amazing that the car talks to you and GPS and all. It's cool stuff. I love it all. It'd be awesome to have. You know, it's nothing wrong with that stuff. And now houses, they got the tiles that are warm when you walk on them in the morning. How many want that? Admit it. All right, I know. And I want that so my wife can walk on it before she gets into bed. Because my wife's feet are Arctic. And I'm dead, sleeping comfortable, everything's all fine. My wife comes in, snuggles up to me. Ah! You know what? I'm buying one of those. I think I'd get my bedroom. Warm tiles you walk on. And they have these houses. And they got these big, fancy spiral stairways. And every room's got... I mean, you see the refrigerators with TVs in the front? Give me a break. I don't think you go to... I open the refrigerator too much. I can't watch it. You go and there's everything. I mean, there's these houses and they watch it. It used to be Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And it used to be that, but now there's all kinds of other shows everywhere. And you watch this and you look at these cars you can never own. And you know what? You look at enough nice cars. You know what your car looks like? A piece of junk. I asked for two things in a car, like cruise control and air conditioning. I like those two things. I'm kind of spoiled. But there's been times in my life where anything that had four wheels and rolled was great. But all of a sudden, you get that thing with four wheels and rolls, and it's got cruise control and air conditioning and electric windows. Ooh. And all of a sudden, you look at somebody else's car. And this thing's got this and that, and it's got all the gadgets and this and that. And you say, my car's a piece of junk. How many miles you get from a gallon to get in this thing? It'll do what? Go gadget car. It flies. It's a helicopter. You got everything. And you know what? My car's a piece of junk. I want this car. Then you go to the dealer. And I'll just take a look at him. I'll just drive it. Yeah, you drive that car, and that car goes straight when you let go of the steering wheel. And that car is comfortable, and you don't have to slam the door. And all the windows roll up and down. And all those things, and all of a sudden, you want it. I got to earn more. I got to have more. And you look at the other house, and your little house. Did you know, listen to this, interesting fact. In the 40s, the average house, new house for a family, was 1,100 square feet. How many grew up in one of those houses? 1940s house. You know, the average house last year was 2,400 square feet. It more than doubled. And they got marble countertops, and they got this, and they got that, and everything's this, and everything's fancy. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I'm just saying we live in the richest nation in the history of the world, in the richest culture in the history of the world, and there's so many things that we want, and we will begin to love money because we want the boat, we want the the snowmobile, and we want the four-wheel drive, and we want and if you can afford those things, there's nothing sinful about them, and you want the big house. I don't want a big house. We have 2,000 square feet. And eight of us. And you know what? That's enough. We could get by with less than that. But you know what? You know how hard it is to clean a 4,000 square foot house? And my kids are getting every corner. Every day. 5,000 square feet? And they got one kid! You have 5,000 square feet and one kid? Don't you like your wife? My wife like being close and snuggling and being with each other. We like to talk and all these other crazy things they do nowadays in marriage. They don't do nowadays in marriage. And we like to do that stuff. And you know what? Everybody, you look at these things and you say, I want this, I want that. You want and you begin to want and you begin to love money and you it can buy you all these things. You can buy a fancy clothes. You can buy, and there are so many things and I don't know what you want. Listen, you know what? There are things that if I started looking at them, I would covet and not be happy anymore with what I have. I wanted a big yard because I have very active and healthy kids. And we wanted a garden and an orchard and all those things. And I got a half acre. That's pretty good in the Seattle area. But you know what? What I really like? Don't tell anybody. I'd really like a big ranch. Because my daughters would love me a whole bunch if I got them horses. They love me a little bit right now. Horses? See, because you know what horse you have right now? This back right here. And this back, those girls get heavier, and my horse rides, my knees hurt worse. And you know what? My daughter's 14 now. Gets a little rougher. And now I got four girls. That's a hard gift. I can do three at a time, but you know what? I love to have big property and no neighbors. You know what I like best about neighbors? Nothing. Neighbors I like private. I'm the most private person in the world. I hate when somebody listens to my conversations. I like being alone. I would like to go walk on my property and pray at night. But you know what? If I start looking at ranch properties and big old properties somewhere where there's no people, guess what happens? Measly little half acre. Ugly greenhouse. Why do they paint it that color? Why do they get it from people who painted it in the 70s? Ugh. And you know what? This house, stairs up, stairs down. Stairs aren't spaced right either. Ugh. This house, and you know what? I have to fix the plumbing and I have to do this. And the water heater is on the other side of the house from the sink. And so the water takes forever to get wet. Look at. And you know what? I wouldn't like my house anymore. And many people live like that, not happy with what they have. There was a day when you, if you had a roof over your head, and it was, and you had your spouse there, you'd be happy. And if you had a car that rolled by its own power, outside of Flintstone's power, you'd be happy. But that changes. And now you love money, and you want things, and you're not content with what things you have. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. And your eyes began to look at things and look at things and look at things, and you want things, and you get unhappy. And your eye gets evil, and the stronghold of desire and lust and wanting things and greed gets a hold of you. Number two, specific areas we need to control our eyes. And number two, lustful looks. Matthew chapter 5, we're right there anyway. Let's turn back a page. Probably the most common sin in America and around the world. Verse 27, ye have heard what is said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, than thy whole body should be cast into hell. Notice the eye there again. Evil eye. People who have a problem with lust and pornography, and then even worse, adultery and fornication. I shouldn't say even worse because it's all sin and wicked and bad. But you're cheating on a spouse then at that point. And you're destroying your own soul, the Bible says. He that committeth adultery destroyeth his own soul. The worst, the problem with it is if somebody has those problems over here with the body, I can go and trace it back to their eyes. Your eyes didn't look at the right things. If your eyes are right, and by the way, men have a terrible problem with this in our culture. And the reason is because they can see whatever they want, whenever they want. Not just on the internet, just driving down the road, just going to work. Women are not modest. And women, let me just say a second for you before I and women can lust with their eyes too, but it's a way bigger problem with men. Way, way, way bigger. They're wired differently. Women are way more likely to get emotionally attached to somebody else. A man, it starts with his eyes. And let me say this for a second, women. If you look at the wording where Jesus says here, he didn't say he committed adultery to her when he looked after lust, would look with lust after her. It says if you look upon a woman lust after her, you've committed adultery with her. Not to her, with her. No wonder the Bible so many times in the New Testament says for a woman to dress modestly. And in the Old Testament. Somewhere along the way, Christianity said, you know what? The way a woman dresses is not an issue at all. It's just Old Testament stuff. That's a law. No, that's New Testament. 1 Peter, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. It's New Testament also. It's vital that a woman dresses modestly, where nobody could look and look with lust, because men have wicked eyes. That's all there is to it. There's a whole bunch of these evil eyes. And ladies, please dress modestly. You will help so many men. And you know what? You save your body and the looks for your husband. Let him see your body. Don't let anybody else see your body. You cover it in such a way where nobody can know every single detail of your body. It's very difficult to talk about this in church, but you know what? It's Bible. The Bible says women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And let me tell you, folks, you don't get your idea of modest apparel from our world. I'm not dressed as bad as they are. Okay, you beat Britney Spears. Great. I'm not as bad as some people. Listen, you understand the average, if the average church went back 100 years and went into a church 100 years ago, they would say, but the way women dress. And they're more modestly dressed in church. Listen, the women, they wear things so low cut. The pants are so tight, you can tell with a quarter in their pockets, head or tails. It is ridiculous. It's bad. And the women need to dress modestly, and men, I don't care if they dress immodestly, you control your eyes. The men who have a lust problem, they have an eye problem. And you know what? It's so bad, they can't control it when I'm with them. Hey man, you're going to hurt your neck. Stop. And when we begin to analyze this, a man's eyes, I'm going to get too graphic here, but they go to certain areas very quickly and just scan a woman's body nowadays. And it's wicked sin against God. Whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusts after her hath committed adultery in his heart. We got evil eyes. We got lustful minds that think of adultery all day long. And they go and get the pornography off the internet. And then go commit adultery and commit fornication. Do all kinds of immoral acts. Why? Because it starts with their eyes. Let me tell you, fellas, you want to get rid of that bad mind? You want to get rid of all that stuff? It starts with your eyes. And by the way, I am so stinking tired of you saying you can't live without the internet. If your right eye offends you, you pluck it off. Try it again. If your right eye offends you, Jesus says, pluck it out. In the context of looking at a woman with lust, and you say, I got to have the internet. If you can't handle the internet, get rid of the internet. You can live without it. People made it 100. You know, they didn't used to have the internet. Really? I thought Jesus surfed the net. No, they didn't have it before. They didn't have it 20 years ago. And they lived. You don't have to. If you can't control it, or you say to your wife, here, you get all the passwords, you get all this stuff, and I don't want to know the passwords, and you get all these blocks, and if you have to pay $500 for all the blocks, it's worth it. I keep dial-up in my house. You know why? Keep me off the internet. I get too impatient. Click. Okay. Anyway, let me go do something. You know why? Because people waste time on it, and there's a lot of bad things that pop up and everything else. I don't want to be in it all day. If I got to do business on it, I do it. I ordered a bunch of stuff yesterday, but you know what? You got to be careful with your lustful eyes. This is the root of perversion, adultery, dirty minds, and fornication. Let me take you to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. I'm going to go back to Matthew again. We don't want to talk about this in church, but you know what? It's just got to be dealt with. We have too much lust, too much adultery, too many bad minds. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Notice that when you have eyes full of adultery, you cannot stop. And that's what men are doing nowadays. I cannot stop looking at it. I cannot stop doing this. I cannot sit up thinking this. That's because your eyes are full of perversion. You will not be able to stop once you go through the eye gate. Your whole body's full of darkness. And you cannot stop your bad actions and your bad thoughts and your bad mind. You can't stop it. It's impossible. You've got to have a pure mind. And it's got to start with your eyes. You cannot stop it. Bible says that for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Number one, we said money and greed. Number two, lustful looks, and that's for men and women both. Women could look with lust. And number three is alcohol. Alcohol, Proverbs. Let me just read you quickly a verse out of Proverbs 23. Alcohol is not supposed to go through the eye gate. It says, Proverbs 23:31, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, when it lasts, it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things, and so forth, and you will be an alcoholic. In verse 35, it says, you can't stop taking it. I don't know why this is. It's a fascinating thing. I don't understand the physics of it, but when alcohol, every alcohol commercial shows the alcohol. It just shows beer pouring into a container, into a cup. I don't know why that is. The Bible says, do not look at alcohol. Look not upon the wine when it is fermented, is what it says. I grew up with an alcoholic home, grew up drinking. I think I started drinking when I was in fifth grade. And having drunk, you know what? I make sure I'm very careful never to look at it. I don't go down that aisle of the store. And if I do, I purposely walk with my head tilted away from it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at the billboards. Why? Because alcohol can affect you through the eyes. The Bible says, don't even look at it. It says, wine is a mocker. Chapter 22 says, strong drink is raging, and whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. Do not even look upon the wine, it says. And so this is just three specific areas with money and greed and lustful looks and alcohol. Our eyes should be controlled. Why are the eyes so important? And let me finish just a few points underneath this. Why are the eyes so important? Number one, it's the light of the body. We already read that. Number two, it affects the hearts. Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Your eye affects your heart. And this goes to a lot of areas. I'm not just talking about lustful and immoral things here. Eve fell. One of the things she did, it said she looked upon and saw that it was good for food, the forbidden fruit. She saw, went through the eye first. Then she said, you know, it tastes good and I want to do it and it's going to make me wise. But she started with her eye and she did that. It affects your heart. Mine eye affected mine heart. Even Jesus, our Savior, was affected by his eyes. But in a good way. And seeing the multitudes, Matthew chapter 10, he was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Can I tell you, it affects your heart and how you feel a lot of different ways. Well, listen, you look and you see bad news on the thing and you see a family crying because their dad is a policeman and he got shot. And what happens? It affects your heart. Your eyes affect how you feel. I have to use this truth in many different areas. With depressed people all the time, I have to affect their eyes. Because depressed people usually do the same type of things. And literally, I'll go in the house and they're in darkness. Every depressed person I've ever dealt with, their house is dark. I go in their house and I just talk to them. I say, can I open your curtains and turn on some lights? Men love darkness. And it gets dark in there. And then all of a sudden they say, you know, I'm depressed. Everything's wrong. Everything's terrible. What do you watch on TV? Well, when I'm watching TV, well, I just got done watching Jerry Springer and I'm watching Court TV. And after that, I'm watching. And everybody's a loser and everybody in the world's a mess. And everybody in the world, no. Everybody isn't, just what you're watching is. It's not that bad. You're just getting depressed. You're a person standing there and you're depressed because your life's falling apart and you think everything's wrong, but everything's not wrong in your life. No, everything's bad. I'm struggling financially and my health isn't very good and my mom hates me and this happens, this and this. Wait a minute. Stop. You're looking only at the bad things. Look at this. Come here. Look at this. Look at this email I got from my friend. That friend just cussed me out and told me all this stuff. Look at that. It's on the computer. When did you pull that email up? Last night? And it's still on the screen? There's a little button called delete. And how many times you read that letter? I don't know. I keep looking. I can't believe you said. And my back is hurting there. My arm is hurting there. This or that. Okay, hold on. You're a person standing there in life, and here's a cave, and you stick your head in the cave and say, the whole world's dark. I can't see a thing. Turn around. The whole world's bright, but it sure is dark in that cave. Your eyes affecting your heart. You're looking at bad news. You're watching the news. You say, all there is terrorists. We're all going to die. And everything's bad. And everybody in Washington, D.C. is a crook. And everybody's unemployed. And everything. You're watching the news. All day, every day. And yeah, all they focus on. They never say, hey, it's a great day. Guess what happened? No, that's not the news. And you look at depressing things. And you look at your problems. Can you see? Can you hear? Can you talk? Can you breathe? Do you have food? Are you free? Well, yeah. Why don't you look at those things? Can you see, hear, talk? You got a lot going for you. But you look at the dark things, you look at the bad things, it affects your heart, you get very depressed, and you be miserable because it affects how you feel. You look at bad news, you look at the bad things in your life, you look at the things that are going wrong, and you get miserable, and it affects your heart, and you get depressed. Or if you look at the right things, it's full of light. And life's good. Isn't it a good day today? The sun's out. I'm alive. I have a car. I got a church. I got a pastor. I got a Bible. I'm alive. I can walk and see and hear and talk. It's a good life. How many got problems today? The rest of you, we need to talk. Some of you have a problem. Your arm won't raise. If you want to focus on your problems, you're going to be miserable. All of us have problems. You don't look at them all the time. Yes, you have to deal with things sometimes, but you look at all the time at darkness. Number three, it brings covetousness. Joshua chapter 7. When your eyes aren't in control, you get covetousness in you. You become covetous. Joshua chapter 7. I'm going to read you one verse. We'll give 2 points underneath this one verse. They went to a battle. They went to Jericho. They won the battle of Jericho. They went to Ai. They lost Ai. And they tried to figure out, what's the problem? Why are we doing so bad? And God says, because you have an abominable thing. You have some wicked things in your camp, and you're not supposed to have them. And they found out who had it. It was a man named Achan. And they said, Achan, why did you take this stuff? We've lost the battle because of it, Israel said. And why did you take this stuff? And Achan was interviewed, and Achan said in verse 21, and when I saw the spoils of the goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they're hid in the earth amidst the tent. I underline three words in that verse. I saw, I coveted, I took. That's a process. I saw, I coveted, I took. You know what? If I never saw a Hummer, I would not covet a Hummer. But I have, and I do. No. If you never saw, you know why men are not satisfied with their wives nowadays? Because they've seen supermodels way too much. Supermodel hadn't had babies yet. Supermodel's 20. And you'll covet. Attach your heart to your wife and only see her, and she'll be very beautiful to you. And you see things, don't look at things you don't want. Don't go window shopping. Men don't have a problem with that. We hate shopping of all kinds. But women. Man, I think you're going to break your neck sometime. You're walking. And it's on sale. You don't need it, but I got it for $999 instead of $1,500. Great deal. You know what? If you don't look at it, I don't... You know... I didn't go to Cabela's until I had a gift certificate for my birthday. Then I went to Cabela's. You know why? Because I would covet all kinds of things in there. I still coveted. I had a gift certificate. Those didn't cover those boats. You know, if you got to be careful about what you look at. And you got to be, your eye will make you covet it. And once you covet it, you know what you're going to do? I got a credit card. And you're going to buy it. Or you won't be able to afford it with your credit card. You already did that too many times. And now you say, man, I'm miserable. Why doesn't God give me nice things? And you covet. And the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. It's a sin. Exodus 20, verse 17. Don't cover your neighbor's anything. Number four, last point. What is it? Why are the eyes so important? It lights up the body. It affects the heart. It brings covetousness. And next, your body becomes evil and follows your eyes. Verse 21 again. I saw, I coveted, and I took. Your body, remember the Bible says the body will become evil and dark. So you might not have a lust problem, and that's what most people think of when they think of bad eyes. You might just be very miserable with things you have. I have seen poor men who were good providers and good men and worked hard for their wife, and they made a middle income. And they made a nice living where they could provide a house and a car. But the woman wouldn't quit coveting and nagged him and nagged him and nagged him into debt and griped and griped and griped till he's miserable. Shame on you. Be content with those things you have. I've seen many a man who went, and the wife was faithful and was careful with the budget, and she spent so-and-so amount of money on the every week and took care of the money very carefully that he gave her, and she hardly had any money, and she scraped by, but he coveted, and he spends $3,000 a year on fishing, or on his hobby, or on golf, or on whatever, because he can't stop, because he's coveting. It can happen for all kinds of things. Can you just stop today and say, I have food. I have clothing and a house. I'm happy. And take your eyes, and the Bible says, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? The Bible says in Proverbs, set thine eyes straight before thee. How do you control your eyes, Pastor? Very carefully. You grab hold of those things. You train them. Your eyes get trained to look at bad things. You look at certain things, and then your eye goes right to them. You say to your eyes, I'm setting you straight before me. When you have to walk by the section in the supermarket where they got all the magazines, you don't look at it. You say, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the candy bars. Then you covet them. And you look straight before you. You choose what you're going to look at. You don't live life. There's so many bad things to look at. Be careful which way you drive to work. Be careful how you drive around. Be careful whose stuff you look at. Be very careful. And if you got to see it, don't think about it. Okay, I saw it. I don't want to look at it. Please be careful with your eyes. Your eyes will bring your whole body to darkness. Your whole body, not just your thoughts, your body. We've got to get rid of that stronghold of the evil eyes. You've got to grab your eyes and say, you are going to look at this. Okay, it's time to look at this thing. Time to look at this thing. I'm not going to look at that. And you'll, a well-trained eye, and I see some of you doing this sometimes, says this. It's like that. You just look away. Because if you keep looking at it, you're going to want it and covet and be miserable. And you will not be right. And your body won't be right. It's a great thing. Jesus had the love of people because he looked at the right things. And he's moved with compassion. Jesus loves you. He wants you to be saved today. He wants you right with him. Are your eyes under control? By the way, not even a point. When I say this, that's a lot of people who have a weight problem. Have their eyes, can't control their eyes. I'm just going to drive by Dairy Queen. I'm just going to look at the menu. I'm just going to go into Old Country Buffet and see what they have on the menu. Control the eyes, folks. Your body will follow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, Lord. It's a wonderful book. We thank you that Jesus Christ even was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes and saw people as sheep having no shepherd. Lord, I really today didn't get even a chance to get into the good the eyes can do and how we can look at good things and bring light to our life, Lord. And Lord, you know the battle we have. You know this culture we live in. You know